League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium Miguel. It's your favorite Uncle Silk.
It's Dan.
And Delatorre.
Same corner, same time. Another day closer to fall football, man. You know? How y'all feel?
Yeah. Good? No, I mean, Silk, before we get too started with your birthday weekend, big Sean Kemp year vibes.
Yeah. Two dunks.
Brandon Siler vibes.
Oh, I like that one. I didn't think about Brandon Siler. I like that one, Dan. I mean, Brandon Siler, I had also Mike Allstott.
Mm.
That's a solid one. You know, that's how you bring in your 40, just running over, trucking over things, man. Been a relaxed weekend, just chilled. Spent a lot of time with family, just eating, relaxing, a whole lot of ocean, a whole lot of, just chilled, man. A lot of meditation and quaint vibe. I've just been ripping and running for like the last 2 years, so I just needed 3 days of just sitting my ass still, and that's what I got. How y'all feeling? Y'all good?
Because you're 40, you need a nap.
Nah. It ain't the time to nap. It's far, in the words of Drake, it's far from the time to rest now. It's far from the time now. I just need a quick little break. How y'all feeling? Y'all good? End of the summer? Winding down?
Yeah.
Or end of the off season? I'm not going to say summer. Summer goes about October around here.
These are the hardest months for us from the content perspective, but we came through, right? I mean, we had Golden and Strickland, we had a whole Jeremy Foley, whole host of people, but we're getting to that point where I no longer have to do pool parties to keep myself entertained.
Doesn't mean they're going to stop.
Football on the horizon, it just means that there's other priorities, right? So we got to find the elite vibes, right?
Right.
But I got a big couple months ahead, so just kind of relaxing. Had a big, nice little weekend here. Had some people over on Saturday. But other than that, yesterday just spent hanging out, vibing, and I'll tell you guys a little bit more about what I did yesterday. The listeners, you guys already know, but spent a lot of time yesterday doing some stuff with Stadium and Gale, so we're excited to announce that. After Nick, you tell us how your weekend was.
Easy weekend. Spent the week traveling out in Atlanta. Corey Bender was off. We're all taking taking some vacation time before the season kicks off. So Zach's out of pocket this week. He and the family are enjoying the beach. And then I'm the last one. I'll be on vacation next week. Not missing Stadium and Gale. I'll be up in the mountains in North Carolina near Boone. But you'll see me. I'll be big cabin vibes next Monday.
Big cabin.
You can cash in some PTO, man, if you need to, bro. I don't want to think we're in a sweatshop around here. Good.
We'll be good. I got a microphone and everything, man.
You just have to submit your request to HR, Nick.
HR is already mad at me. I was last in today. HR's already mad at me.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you how was Atlanta, but I'm pretty sure we'll get into that talk.
Yeah, well, why don't we just get into the show, boys? We got a lot to talk about today, but before we do that, let's give a shout-out to our friend Alan Horn, as always, the title sponsor of Stadium and Gale. Visit Alan Horn, H-O-R-N-E, insurance.com, 706-692-2888. Again, Alan is a State Farm agent in Jasper, Georgia. So if you live in Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, or Alabama, and you are looking for auto, home, renters, life, business insurance, or retirement planning, give him a call, 706-692-2888, or visit him at allenhorninsurance.com. Nick, you had the pleasure of going up to SEC Media Day, so definitely want to talk a little bit about that. But before we do that, want to give everybody just an announcement. We completely updated our store, completely new designs, all new apparel. We decided that we were going to drop it today. We're still finalizing a couple more things, but visit stadiumandgale.com/shop.
Big
whole
drip.
New rebrand for guys, for girls, for kids, for all walks of life, all different types of designs, whether they be Florida and Gainesville or whether they be Stadium and Gale themselves. We had some great work done. We got other people to sign off on it, so it's not just the three of us. We probably got 10, 12 people's opinion on this, and everything looks elite and everything really just overall steps up the Stadium and Gale image.
You trying to say they shouldn't trust our fashion sense?
No, I'm just saying, you know, sometimes girls are like, hey, like, what would you go, you know, what kind of effort you put into it? Or did you think about the comfort colors? Did you think about the crop right. top? Thought about
Dan
it all.
Dan wanted a crop top. We got a crop top.
Yeah.
Next pool party you see Dan at, crop topping it up.
That's right. Maybe you want a frat tank. Maybe you want a pocket tee. Maybe you want something for your kids.
A pocket Reach crop out. Top is crazy.
Boom. A pocket crop top. Ah! I can see that's doing crazy. That. But if there's something that you see on there and you're like, hey, do you have this in a kid's size or in a different style? Let us know. We will absolutely work with you and get it on as many different styles as you want, but without putting 200 different items up on the website for you. So again, stadiumandgale.com/shop. Beautiful vibe. Shout out to Tim, who really helped us out in designing a lot of these. And then shout out to Phil Cruzan, who also helped us in designing these. So again, stadiumandgale.com/shop. All right, y'all, Nick.
Go and support us, man. We want to see y'all at the same court at the same time this fall wearing Stadium and Gale. You know what I'm saying? Like, let everybody know the biggest podcast. Buy that drip. So when we run into y'all at the tailgates this fall, we know what it is, man. We appreciate the support.
So I might even sign it for you.
I can see something.
I mean, if somebody want my autograph, bro, I'm willing to sign it, man. I want it's not even the money. It's just, you know, the branding. So I want, you know, this podcast to be the biggest podcast in the world. So buy our drip, support us for everybody else to know what it is and what to listen to.
Yeah, no, we put a lot of thought, a lot of opinion and really we really put our brains together, a lot of different perspectives on things that you would wear out, things that are not tacky, things that really fit into what everybody's wearing, both in college or in the real world now. It's brand specific for Gainesville, it's brand specific for Stadium and Gale itself, but overall just a lot of really good clean items on there. Try to make the prices as affordable as we possibly can to make sure that you guys have great quality stuff and not just the cheapest stuff that's out there as well. So again, stadiumandgale.com/shop. You will see us continue to promote that all week. But again, last time, stadiumandgale.com/shop. Nick, you were up in Atlanta at SEC Media Days. Billy Napier spoke to the crowd. Anthony Richardson, Ventrell Miller, and Richard Garage were also in attendance. Give us your perspective on how you thought everything went and kind of what you came away with.
Yeah, I think I said this, and I don't know if some people took it the wrong way, but I think you weren't going to learn a lot about Florida's team at SEC Media Days. I don't know that, you know, Billy Napier is going to tell you what the starting running back rotation is going to be, how the balls are going to be handed, you know, what that timeshare is going to be, or who the starting safeties are going to be. I think you're not going to get a lot of headlines from Billy Napier in any press conference setting. I mean, Lane Kiffin shows up on Monday and calls NIL legalized cheating. I think Billy Napier is just up there in public. He's going to hit singles. He's going to slap the ball the other way. You take big swings, try to hit home runs, you strike out. And he's not going to do that. So I think in terms of handling his first media day, he was fine. There's no controversy. There's nothing out there. Said he's looking forward to going to Jacksonville to be a part of that game. Happy to be a part of the SEC. And then the other guys. I think Anthony Richardson was the one, obviously, with some stuff going on in the offseason. The speeding ticket he was going to get asked about. He was going to get asked about changing his marketing plan from AR-15. And I think as the quarterback, you are the face of the franchise as much as the head coach. So I had a question. How would he handle that? How would he represent himself, the University of Florida, Billy Napier, his family, all of that? I think Anthony Richardson was brilliant, for the 4 hours that he was grilled. Really cool to see him and Tim Tebow interact. I can't imagine what that means to a kid who grew up in Florida to interact, or a kid that grew up in Gainesville specifically, to interact with the possibly the best college quarterback ever, the best quarterback at the University of Florida, and this guy's just like chopping it up with you.
Also, probably one of the reasons he's wearing 15.
Well, there might have been some other reasons, some marketing reasons, but those have been denounced.
I don't think it was just that because the 15 don't hit. If the tradition of it don't hit, man. Yeah. I think anybody wearing 15 going forward is going to be a lot because of Tim Tebow. It's not a cute quarterback number at all. What did you think about the drip? Go ahead.
Remember when Luchez Purifoy got it? And I was just like, oh, man, that's weird because he was the first one to get 15 after. And Florida doesn't retire numbers. They retired Steve Spurrier's, and then when he came back in the 90s, unretired his jersey. And that was the only jersey that was retired. He was like, we're not going to do this. No one player or one number is bigger than the program. If you're going to retire jerseys, though, you're never seeing 11 again. You're probably never seeing 22 again. You're never seeing 15.
I mean, you probably couldn't see one again either. There's so many of them, right?
You'd have to keep one.
Jack Youngblood's number's probably retired. I mean, you start thinking of the greats, right? I mean, you're starting to dwindle numbers down, but you have
85 I like the way Michigan does this. Like, Michigan has their historic numbers, and they don't retire them, but they, like, I think there's either a patch or a stitch in the jersey of the legendary players that have worn that number. So anytime you put your jersey on, you're reminded of, hey, Charles Woodson wore this jersey. Yeah.
You bench rider. Real quick, rank their drip of all three guys that went to Media Day, which was
Anthony Richardson,
Richard Garage, and Ventura Miller.
I'm pulling up the picture now. I'm trying to figure out how much of a hater I want to be.
I'll be honest with you. Can I put out the hot take out there? I think that Anthony Richardson.
You're the suit guy, man.
His cut was the best. The fit was the best. The pattern itself, in my opinion, was number three.
Well,
yeah, the pattern was a little wild for me.
Interesting you say that, because that was a Amazon.com purchase.
That's what he said.
You said I found it on Amazon. It was $100.
But didn't they have like Men's Warehouse coming a few months ago? Like, this isn't something that we could have anticipated.
I don't think he looked bad.
He didn't look bad at all. In fact, his suit cut for him worked the best.
It was actually
I didn't like the pattern.
I'm gonna go with Richard Garage at three. Sorry, big dog. Anthony at two. The pants with the white drivers. That did it for me with Ventrell. I did joke with him that they were a little tight.
Bridges was tight, but I think if we had to call Hong Kong Andy, he'd approve Ventrell's not the other two.
Hong Kong Andy.
Did you see Pat Narduzzi? His like picture went around a couple days ago. He had his signature stitched into his shirt cuff. Big fan. Like that. Just a little bit of stitched.
So like the cuff is sticking out of the jacket.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Signature is stitched onto it.
Yeah.
That's
clean.
I like that.
You got to add the finer details to your drip, man. Mm-hmm. You're doing it halfway, especially when you're a millionaire. How you have to drip if you're rich?
I watched Dan Mullen for 3 years and pleated khakis. So
I see.
That can happen.
I mean, McElwain too.
That was his whole vibe.
I mean, probably Muschamp too. I don't know who the best dressed was. Champ was all right. Billy Napier's definitely got the drip down. He's our best dressed coach.
All right, back to
football, maybe SEC ever. I don't know.
We turned into TMZ real quick. And
Nick, talk to us about SEC Media Day Beyond. I mean, I know you mentioned a few things, Lane Kiffin said. I saw that Mike Leach only had a 7-word introductory statement. Love Leach. Big fan of him. But what else did you take away, or anything that was noteworthy?
I mean, Kirby he's been campaigning hard to get Florida, Georgia out of Jacksonville. Wild. The argument makes sense to me. I don't know why you can't change it. So the Florida and Georgia have agreed not to host recruits every year, even though it's a neutral site game. A team is home. Texas and Oklahoma can host recruits at the Red River Showdown, Red River Rivalry, whatever it's called. They can host recruits, whoever the home team is. I think Florida and Georgia should be able to. That's a really cool experience. Kirby Smart made the argument. I want to be able to host recruits at our biggest game. Our biggest game every year is that Florida game. Why can't we have it at home? I get that. That makes sense. I don't get Kirby Smart, who pulled in like three straight consecutive top recruiting classes, whining about recruiting. Like, that's just a weird thing to whine about. You don't need any help recruiting.
That's what you're doing fine, man.
I get it. The elite are always looking for that edge. I get
it. I mean, at that game, it's his biggest rivalry, bro. So I understand what he's saying from that standpoint. Either they change the rule or they let him go to they do Athens and UF. But from a recruiting standpoint, that big game, you're selling that big game already to recruits. Like, you can come here and play one of the biggest
rivals. But doesn't it go the opposite way, too? Like, isn't that your biggest rival now getting an additional opportunity every other year to host recruits? Right? Like,
sure. Sure, yeah. But you want those two.
The thing about it is,
and you're going to out-recruit them anyway, as in your mind. But
you look at the other rivalries, they can use their big rival games to recruit at, like, that atmosphere. Bama's going to use that for Iron Bowl. Like, you got to use your rivalry games for recruiting. So they either change the that rule, or I'm with Kirby, man. Like, you just can't.
Is that an that's not an NCAA rule, right? That's an SEC rule.
I need to go back. I looked it up last week. I looked at the last Wednesday when I was there. I looked it up. And I can't remember right
because
now.
Because I thought I saw something going around, and pardon me, I'm not prepared for this take, but I thought that I saw that the NCAA does allow it. And that's how Texas and Oklahoma get around the rule. I'm not sure if it's like an SEC rule or if it's like an unwritten rule of like, hey, we just don't do that.
I would like, and I get a lot of pushback from this. I'm wearing my Jacksonville Suns hat today. So sorry, Duval. I would like to see, selfishly, I would like to see a game in Athens. And people are always like, oh, we'll go on your bye week. Well, Florida and Georgia have the same bye week every year. It's before they play each other. I think it'd be really cool to see if you want to do it split it four ways, then do Gainesville, Athens, Jacksonville, Atlanta. Because Georgia fans will say it's not a neutral site. Jacksonville is Gator country. Jacksonville is, an hour and a half away. It's a 7-hour bus ride for us. So split it every 4 years. And then that way, if you're there for 4 years, you get a game in the Mercedes Superdome or the Mercedes, whatever they call it is in Atlanta where the Falcons play. You get a game at home, you get a game in Jacksonville, and you get a game in Athens. If you stay for 4 years, you're going to experience four really cool places to play.
I like that idea, but seems like a lot of logistics.
I like
it. The city of Jacksonville cut $2 million worth of checks last year to get those two teams in Jacksonville. This year, it's 2.2 or 1.1. 1.15, I think, to each team.
You think that's entire tourism budget?
And the year after, each team is getting $1.25 million to play in Jacksonville. So I think there's a financial benefit for the presidents and the athletic directors to continue playing that game in Jacksonville. And obviously,
you think that's the reason, though?
Once ESPN money starts happening, what's
$1.25 million to UF in the grand scheme of things?
That's $1 million you won't get if you're playing in Athens.
They could find the money, but they're also now
going to get money every other year. I mean, I don't know like how much money UF clears every year, but I assure you that the money every other year probably more than makes up for any substantial debt, especially with a new TV deal coming.
When the TV deal hits,
we're playing with Monopoly money, and you're the banker. Like the money doesn't matter once the ESPN deal kicks in.
Yeah, I think once you open that game up for, like, even the idea you were saying, like, Florida-Georgia game, we're open to, like, different cities, Atlanta, and maybe home and away type stuff, bro. The money, TV money, whatever money is going to flood in. I don't think that'll be an issue. But I do, like, I'm with Kirby. That game got to be used for recruiting, not for these kids and pay their own dime. That atmosphere, the tailgates, that game is unlike any other game we play. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is to be real. If you haven't been to the Florida Georgia tailgate, you're cheating yourself in life.
It's been in Jacksonville every year since 1933, except for, I believe, 94 and 95 when they were doing renovations to the then Alltel Stadium. And Florida hung half 100 between the hedges.
Mm-hmm. Might do it again this year. Well, not this year because we won't be in between the hedges. But anyway, Nick, one, I want to talk a little bit about another rival that Florida plays every year, LSU. Mm-hmm. Jimbo Fisher was speaking the other day, and they're talking about changes in the schedule as Texas and Oklahoma get added in. Yep. They mentioned that LSU might become a permanent rival with Texas and Mississippi State, with Texas A&M, so kind of the four-group pod there. With Texas and Mississippi State there. Any thoughts, or have you heard any more on what the future of that might look like?
No, I think you are going to get an extra. You're going to get a ninth SEC game. It's wild when they were in Destin that they came out with. They said we looked at dozens and dozens, maybe 100 models of what the schedule could be, and then they came up with like an 8-game schedule with like. No divisions, mm-hmm. But you'd only have one permanent rival. And then I'm looking, I'm like, okay, well, who's telling Tennessee, hey, you're not playing Alabama anymore,
right?
The third Saturday in October.
Yo, how excited both fan bases would
Tennessee fans would riot. And listen, the college football is cyclical. Nick Saban, they might figure out how to like clone him and make him a computer, and then they'll have a computer Nick Saban coaching. But like at some point, he's going to retire. College football is cyclical. Alabama is not going to be the best team in the country for the next 80 years. Like at some point, it's going to change. Tennessee will start beating Alabama again, like they did in the 90s when Alabama was on on probation. Tennessee, that's history. That's pageantry. That's college football. Tennessee fans, even though they haven't beaten Alabama since somebody who's getting, their learner's permit this year. Someone who's getting their learner's permit and will be driving a car, if they're a Tennessee fan, they've never seen their team beat Alabama, and they still want that game.
They haven't seen much from Tennessee.
They just had some notice of allegations over the weekend. You saw those?
I did. We're going to talk a little bit about those.
So that's not going to happen. So they're going to end up going to a 9-game schedule. You'll get two permanent opponents and then start rotating. So for me, I think that for Florida would be Georgia, Tennessee. But you're not going to have a traditional East and West. You're going to have a 16-team conference, two traditional opponents, and then you play the rest of your schedule.
So you think Georgia and Tennessee are Florida's?
I think that would be Florida's. If you look at it, if you look at Florida, I mean, they don't – what two games, if I took them off Florida's schedule every year, would you be most angry about? You're not going to be angry about, like, not playing Vanderbilt. Every year, or even Kentucky.
I'd be pretty upset if we didn't play Vanderbilt.
No, you're just trying to collect W's. I'm talking That's about.
Right. Well, right now, Nick, I'm talking about what I can get.
Rooftop too, man. I heard the rooftop vibes. All right.
Yeah, I'm trying to get to Nashville every other year for a game too, you know?
This year. November.
You got to. It's mandatory.
I'm contractually obligated. I will be there.
I'll be there too. Yeah.
Hey, hanging out.
That sounds like we just got logistics figured out.
Boom.
That's it. The streets are obligating me to be there, man. So I got to pull up, bro. Rooftop vibes. Vandy, I'm chilling.
Let's see.
My boy Luke Combs lives there. Maybe we'll run into him, Silk.
Maybe so. I got a buddy of mine who's good friends with him. So shout out to Ben Wells.
What else did we learn from Atlanta? Well, the vibe. Did you check out all the interviews then?
I checked out a few. It doesn't seem like there's a lot. I do want to go over the SEC, rankings, prospective media rankings, who made first team, second team, all and third team all SEC. But any other thoughts, Silk, that you had? It seemed like there wasn't a lot of controversy. Certainly no Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban controversy that came up. So, I don't think that there was too much. I don't think much came out of anything. What about you guys?
Just like a few things the guys were saying. Yeah. Anthony Richardson spoke about the offense being explosive. Spoke on Ricky Pearsall, the wide receiver that came in, what he brought to the table and their chemistry. I liked all of that. Ventra Miller, just poised every time every interview that I saw from him was on point. Just another reminder how much we're going to appreciate his leadership and how much we missed last year, man, having him back in the fold. And he's came a long way. People forgot that he got into, like, shenanigans when he first got here. Worked his way to people forgot about it. So I'm excited to see Ventrell. Richard Garage is a big big kid, quiet, didn't say a whole lot, man. But I like the presence and the leadership of all three guys that were represented.
Dope. Yeah, no, I thought the Richard Garage question that he asked Anthony Richardson was funny when they were just talking about who's the best dressed, but shows obviously good chemistry, and they were just looking like they were having some fun out there as well. I did see that Ventrell Miller was named to the Butkus Award list for the third time in a row, a watch list, so congratulations to him. But Nick, you and your peers ranked the following expected result in the SEC.
I don't know that I want to be lumped in like that.
Oh, yeah. You're about to get lumped in, and I have a serious question for you.
I even published mine.
Well, this is what your peers chose. Georgia with 172 first place votes. Kentucky number two with 4 first place votes. Tennessee number three with 1 first place vote. Number four, Florida with 0 first place votes. South Carolina fifth with 3 first place votes. I'd like to meet those people. Number six, Missouri with 0 first place votes. And then Vanderbilt with 1 first place vote comes in 7.
Yeah. Talking to people throughout the week, I think I tweeted, so I knew it was coming out at 11 o'clock on Friday. I tweeted like at 10. I'm like, after talking to people who were voting, I think Florida's going to come in fourth. Like, mm-hmm. I knew Florida wouldn't finish second,
right?
Which is where I had them. But I don't get it. So I was trying to explain to another writer who's new. I was like, well, Tennessee does this every year. They play Florida early and they lose. They play Alabama in October and they lose. They play the tough part of their schedule early on. And then they play Kentucky late. They play Vanderbilt late. They've got a cupcake game late. They play Missouri late. And they reel off 4 or 5 wins at the end of the year. And then this Tennessee hype train starts mm-hmm. every offseason without fail. Tennessee goes that's like 4-1 over the last 5 or 4-2, 5-1. And then we get this Tennessee hype train. And then they start the season like 1-4. Mm-hmm. And then they, rinse, repeat. So I get the Tennessee hype. Hendon Hooker's a really good quarterback. Even in some losses last year, looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
The devil works hard. Kris Jenner works hard. I got to meet Will Levis's PR team. Like, mm-hmm. I think he's a fine quarterback, but we're talking like people are talking about him being the second best quarterback in the conference, about him being a first round pick. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't see it. But that's what I was hearing in Atlanta. And that's why I thought, my pick of Florida finishing second is not going to be the majority.
Right.
And I think Alabama and Georgia are head and shoulders above the rest of the teams in their divisions. And I don't see any other matchup in Atlanta that first weekend of December other than those two. But the way the East shook out to me was wild.
Yeah, it seems like collision course. I like the non hype of Florida right now. I don't care about like these writers and their opinions of it. Tradition has showed us our first year coach always gives a boost, man. They're never hype. Oh, it's gonna be a big year, and we always get a boost and get a little bit surprised about guys we thought weren't that good. And their last image of Florida is a Dan Mullen quit team, heading down the stretch that lost to UCF. A lot of people think we don't really have any talent at wide receiver. It's just Anthony Richardson and the backup dancers. But we're gonna shock some people, man. I'm not mad at all. I like the Will Levy hype. You know, I like all of that. I think Anthony Richardson is one of the top players in the country. That's my opinion of how I view his skill set and what he can be. So if he's getting, a little underrated in the SEC, bro, I just like that from our perspective, man. Let's just chill and come out. It's time to pull that AR out. We'll pull it out.
And I've been getting, pushback. I understand. Billy brought it up in our, local media session before he went on stage. He's like, he's only thrown or completed 33 passes. He's only played 220 something snaps. So I get that people don't know, but when I say, I think Anthony Richardson is a dark horse Heisman, or I think Anthony Richardson, I put him as the number two quarterback, on my all SEC ballot behind, and I'm not gonna put him, I think he is better, than Bryce Young. I think, like, physically, I think he can be a better quarterback. But, I mean, one is the reigning Heisman champion, and the other has completed 33 passes. So a lot of that, of what we're talking about, Anthony Richardson, the people that are in Gainesville, is just we're talking about potential, and we think he can be that. We think he is that guy. He is him. But he's going to have to show it. So that's what I'm telling people. I'm like, hey, if he plays the way that we think here in Gainesville that he is capable of, that he's physically capable of, then – and comes back to college next year, you'll be talking about him as like the Heisman favorite if he comes back to college next year.
Yeah. No, and I think that we obviously, you know, follow him a lot closer than other folks. I mean, I think if you look at last season, you know, he had some great physical, you know, some great games, right? I mean, you look at the USF game, a couple long passes, a couple long runs, really looked physical. I mean, the game that, you know, you probably, you know, had a good game against LSU coming back and almost securing the victory there, looked sharp there. And then you also have the Georgia game, right? So I still think that there's a lot of question marks about, you know, who Anthony Richardson is to the national media. But I think if you follow him, and I think if you understand who he is as a player and the injuries that he was battling through last year, that, you know, he's a guy that, in my opinion, is probably a more capable number two or number three than either a Will Levis or, you know, I think Hendon Hooker is fine. But I think when you look at the totality of the season ahead, I think that Anthony Richardson's going to probably, you know, finish higher than both of those guys on those all-SEC lists.
I do like Chris Sorley's in the comment. I do like his taste. And we play Tennessee at Tennessee this year, and that's why the experts are picking him. And he's right, too, as well. Us being healthy is everything this season. That's at every position. We got some guys at running back and some other spots where we can afford some injuries, but overall health is just been our thing the last few years because we haven't been recruiting the best. So keeping everybody healthy, hopefully that off-season condition, you know what I'm saying, is on point, and everybody, you know, stays fresh and healthy, make it through the season. But if we healthy, man, I like us. But I do like I respect Tennessee's offense. When we beat them last year, I said, like, I like what they're doing out there in Tennessee. I could see, you know what I'm saying, them being a force to be reckoned with as far as, like, executing X and O-wise. Mm-hmm. They've had recruiters in the past with Pruitt and those guys, but getting somebody in that's an actual play caller, that's a little different in Tennessee. So I do like where they're moving at with hype at the helm.
Absolutely. And if you look on the west side, Alabama first with 177 first place votes, Texas A&M second with 3, Arkansas third with 1, then Ole Miss, LSU, Mississippi State, and Auburn. And then I believe out of 177 ballots cast or somewhere around there, 181 maybe, I guess, Alabama finishes first in winning the SEC championship in 158 of those ballots. Are you guys surprised that Alabama took it with such zeal going
in? No, Nick about to beat the shit out of everybody, man. He's mad, I'm telling you, man.
I listened to Nick Saban at the podium, and I was like, oh, no. Like, he's walking with that arrogance, that confidence of, like, we are going to absolutely embarrass some teams this fall. He's not even putting, like, the pedal to the metal, foot down on the gas pedal. Like, it's duct taped. There is no break. I think Alabama's going to be scary this year. He's talking about, we have the two best players coming back on either side of the ball. We have all these players returning, and I'm just like, oh, Alabama's like they're gonna hurt some people's
feelings. I mean, if it wasn't for two wide receiver injuries, they would have won last year. And this team they got coming out this year, I think he's been talking crazy and greasy all summer because he got something
greasy all summer. Like Utah State not gonna be great. You know, that September 3rd. Like, I think Alabama's got 6 months of aggression. Ready to go. Like, Texas, people are talking about how great Texas is doing in recruiting. Like, they have to see Alabama week two.
Everybody had fun this summer talking all this recruitment. Then games got to get played, man. Nick been snapping at everybody, and people think their recruiting's down a little bit, but these games about to get crazy. No, I'm not shocked at all, Dan, that Nick Saban is getting that. I think nationally he may get the same type of energy.
Yep. So we'll see. Gators, first team All-SEC, transfer Osiris Torrance on the offensive line makes the first team, and that's the only first team All-SEC player that the Gators have. The other possibilities, I guess, maybe a Gervine Dexter, but probably Florida did not have, obviously, really any other guys that you thought might make the list. Did you guys think?
I thought Anthony Richardson should have been at least a third team. Obviously, you've got the Heisman winner at first, and then it was Hooker and Levis. But yeah, I think that's probably it. I didn't know that Trey Dean was going to be on the list. I don't.
Oh, you didn't even get there yet. Let me run through the rest of that list.
Run through all of them, yeah.
Yeah, let's run through all of it. All right, so we got Brenton Cox, second team as linebacker, and then third team, Gervon Dexter, defensive line, linebacker, Ventrell Miller, and then defensive back, Trey Dean. So the Gators end up putting five folks up on the All-SEC list. Any names that are – I know you were just mentioning Nick. Sorry to interrupt there. Trey Dean being a bit of a surprise for you.
Yeah, I think – and so, like, Marshall wasn't on any of the lists. And,
right.
And someone – you know, and I said to someone on our message board, I was like, oh, I didn't have him on my list either. That doesn't mean he's not a great player, but, like, the SEC is loaded at defensive back, at safety, at corner, at nickel. I mean, you could put – you can make a case that Alabama's entire starting secondary could be the first team.
Right.
So it's like, to me, it wasn't crazy that Trey Dean, it wasn't crazy that Jason Marshall wasn't on the list. I think he has that potential, and it's more important to be on the postseason list than the preseason list. But yeah, to me, it was, I didn't think that Trey Dean would have been on it. I thought should have been on it.
It's a good popular name. A lot of names that make even awards list is good for like just traction, and even if they don't know like the best defender or safety, they're gonna throw some Florida players on there. Just like our logo is gonna get certain,
right? I'll tell you, right.
There's definitely like, a name recognition, right? Trey Dean's been around
going into your sixth year. Yeah,
yeah.
It was in Spurrier's third recruiting class. Yeah.
I think Trey Dean and Andre DeBose were in the same class.
I will tell you this. If you're not in tune and don't know who's on whose team, like when you get to the defensive line and the offensive line, it's like, hey, pick eight. And then you've got like 80 names and you're like, who are these people?
Mm-hmm.
So there is probably a lot of the more than 2,000 writers that are there. They get to it and they're just like, okay, where's Alabama? Let me click three guys from Alabama. Where's offensive line? Kentucky normally has a good offensive lineman. Just picking random names or names that they recognize. I don't think everyone's putting in the same kind of research that like me that, or like a Dave Waters.
You, nah, you're giving us, you're giving us your work. You're telling us how you do it.
Yeah, I showed my work. I showed
Nick's,
my work.
Nick's letting everybody know he's the hardest working guy in media.
Every day.
Dennis Dodd, screw him. He's not paying attention.
Buy my mogul course. I'll put a link. put a link in the chat.
Buy my master class on deselecting all SEC teams. Corey, I want to get into a little bit more, but why don't you give us a Grahamco ad read?
Be sure to visit thegrahamco.com. Use coupon code SG25 for 25% off of all THC Delta 8 products. Everything's federally legal to your mailbox. No jump out, boys. No federales is gonna, snatch you up. Everything's legit. They have gummies of the flavors fruit punch, watermelon, and blue raspberry, all fire, hard candy, tropical orange. They also have wake and bake coffee, sativa doll, CBD products. Like I said, use coupon code SG25 for 25% off of all Grahamco products.
I love it. Anybody else that you guys are surprised of? Ventrell Miller, third team. Gervon Dexter, third team. Brenton Cox getting second team was probably a little bit of a surprise to me. A guy that, is a little bit of a household name, former five-star, but hasn't put it all together yet. So a little surprised to see him on the second team.
I think he's rooting for him, though. He just got to stop just speed rushing. But the potential is there. He's had some moments in some games, but we also saw him take a shitload of plays off. The motor was suspect last year, so we'll see what the conditioning like and see that, if he close on plays. I think the scouts, that's probably the biggest thing on him is seeing him close on plays. Like if you don't get the immediate quarterback, scrambles a little bit, do you quit on the play? There was a lot of that with Brenton Cox, but outside of that, the potential is there for him to have a big year.
Yeah.
Nick? I think it must have been spring when we talked to him. He admitted it. He admitted I took some plays off. he said his foot was never 100% healthy. He wasn't trying to use that as an excuse, but I guess like in his mind it was, you know, like a load management. Like, oh, my foot hurts. Quarterback scrambled. I'm not going to run 50 yards in the backfield to get him going the opposite way. But it looks bad on film, and I think he knows that. Yeah. It looks really bad on film, and NFL scouts don't care. I don't care if your foot hurts. You stop playing. You get 100 plays, and you quit on 30 of them. Like, that's what we see. It doesn't matter if your toenail fell off. You better be running. So I think he's healthy. I think he's healthy right now, and he knows what he put on film, maybe even a little bit embarrassed about it to an extent, but he has said publicly that that's not what you're going to see on film this year.
Excellent. Any other names that weren't, you know, one of the five named for the Florida Gators this preseason that you might expect to see on a postseason list?
I'll go out on a limb and go Naquan Wright. I think Naquan Wright can get mixed in with the passing game. And I really think – I haven't moved off this too much. I really think Florida is going to be very run heavy. But I think Naquan Wright in those run packages is probably your best guy to catch a ball out of the backfield as well. Someone who even played some in the slot last year, you know, getting motioned out. I think he has potential. He could be the guy that has the most carries on the team at the end of the year.
Do you what order do you have that in, Nick? Do you have Wright, then Lingard, then Johnson? Is that kind of your 1-2-3?
I think it'll probably start that way, but I think at the end of the year, if you look at it, if I'm going to make a prediction, I think it'll be Wright with the most carries. If we're taking AR out of the equation, I think AR.
Right, we're taking AR. Yeah, just
the most. But I think it'll be Wright, Montrell, and then Lingard third.
Okay.
One of the other things that AR spoke on too was tempo. So I'm interested to see how like subbing out and how all of that works, man. But yeah, with what you just said, Naquan didn't play spring, and a lot of things make sense now, especially with Bowman leaving. But with Naquan out, there's a lot of opportunity, and that those opportunities definitely got shrunk with him back, because he's probably the leader in that clubhouse just from, you know what I'm saying, previous track records at the team.
All right. Yeah, other names that I think you could potentially see. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe another Florida Gator offensive lineman, you know, makes that list. You know, maybe a Richard Garage, maybe a Josh.
I think
Braun,
Kingsley. I think Kingsley's another guy.
Yeah,
Kingsley guy.
Yep.
Give me Princely, man. I like Princely.
Say him too.
Thing.
Yeah. You know, Phil's in a squad. Where 700 Zach pounds. Gonna be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He missed. He got some good get off. Very explosive, just and strong, as you can see with 700 pounds. But I think Princely Umanilian could be a guy at the end of the season that's, you know, names that the rest of the SEC know. You feel me? One of them guys.
And then Nick mentioned it earlier. I think Jason Marshall is a guy that you could potentially see in there as well. You know, being the number one cornerback at the University of Florida, being coached up by Corey Raymond, former five-star, definitely a guy that did well. You know, as a freshman, you know, took a couple lumps, but, you know, now it's his island to man, and I think that he's you know, confident enough, and I think he's got the skill set to really be able to shine.
Mark me down for Jalen Kimber as well. People forget that he was starting on that Georgia defense, what people consider one of the best defense ever, but he was starting, and he got injured and ended up transferring to UF, and we have him in our secondary, and I like the way he looked in the spring ball. So I think he's going to get a lot of opportunities being on the other side of Marshall. And we'll see what happens. But I like Jalen Kimber as well.
Yeah, but definitely a lot of names.
Nick. And then also, too, I mean, you mentioned Princely. I think that's a big – they need him. I mean, obviously he's in his third – going into his third season, he wants to have a big year. But they need him. You need someone to take the pressure off of Brenton Cox. And you can't allow – hey, they've got nobody on the other side. So we can just double-team Brenton Cox and put one man on, you know, the defensive end. So Princely has to have a big year. After Brenton Cox, is it who steps up? Is it going to be Antoine Powell, who I think is probably running second team right now? He's a guy that probably a lot of fans just forgot about.
A lot of Zuniga vibes with Antoine Powell for me personally.
I think it's him, and then behind him would be Chief Borders, Dave Reese. Not really sure about, you know, that order. Dave Reese is healthy, finally, going into his
Is this his fifth year?
I think he's a redshirt junior.
Jeez.
Does that count his COVID? I have him pulling this up. Yeah, this is his fifth year.
Yeah, fifth year. Hasn't done much. You know, certainly there's still an opportunity there. You know, Chief Borders was a, you know, gifted, athlete coming out of high school. Didn't play a ton last year. You know, certainly has an opportunity as well. You know, Chris Sorley in YouTube. Make sure you check us out on YouTube. We are live streaming. Normally we do this on Monday evenings. Today, because we have Phil Steele joining us shortly, we are doing it during the middle of the day. But, you know, Chris Sorley, same corner earlier time. He asked the exact same question. Who's going to back up Cox? You know, you mentioned Powell. Wicked Fresh said Rashard Torrance is a guy that you could maybe see on an All-SEC list as well.
I like that we got some names right down the middle as well. That you want to be solid down the middle on defense. So you got Gervon Dexter right at defensive tackle, Ventrell, some of that action, then Rashard Torrance, Trey Dean. I think we're going to be more solid down the middle, and that's the foundation of a good defense.
I think you've got frontline talent. I don't know that the depth is there, especially at defensive tackle, nose tackle.
Right.
And
for sure.
And shout out to my guy, Chris Rumpf. He said he learned at Alabama. He goes, those big boys, they have one gas tank. There's no refilling it. He goes, when that gas tank hits empty on Saturday,
it's not refilled until the following Saturday, right?
Have you seen gas prices? He goes, not only can we not afford to refill it, the tank is closed. Right. Once that tank is done. So you have to have depth. Like, you can't ask. I mean, maybe you can. Maybe Gerv is gotten into this, like, some nasty shape, but you can't ask like a defensive tackle, nose tackle, hey, you got to play 80 snaps on defense today.
I'm not worried about Gerv's shape. What is Desmond Watson looking like? That's the better shape. That's the guy to ask him what type of shape he's in. Because Gerv just not going to be able to. It's hot out there, bro. You know, he's going to have to take a breath. That's just what it is. So I think that's the bigger thing, bigger question in the room is how in shape is Desmond Watson?
Yeah, because you're going to rely on him, and he hasn't had to play much, right?
Yeah.
So, anybody else on offense? So I know that you mentioned Naquan Wright, Anthony Richardson, obviously a guy. Anybody else? We mentioned a couple offensive linemen, but
listen, bro, somebody in that receiver room, step up. Nobody's been more down on the receiver room, I think, than me. Somebody step up. You got someone wearing the number one right now, Justin Shorter. It's a big prove it year for him. That's kind of mentality he's taken. And somebody step up in that room. Is Day-Day, Dejon Reynolds? Like, somebody's got to step up in that room.
Maybe a Xavier Henderson, right?
X, Ricky Slick Rick, Pretty Ricky.
Yeah, Slick Rick one.
Slick Rick one.
That's a new Twitter handle. Yeah. You switch that. Got the jersey number, changed the @.
Should have been Slicky Ricky, but with the Slicky,
with the one and 7 9.
Yeah, but that would have been a number 11, you know. I'll work on the branding. Don't pay me for branding. You know,
if we're talking about like possibly add to like all SEC, I don't have anybody in the wide receiver room. But just sticking out on paper, I do it like Dejon Reynolds his weight room stuff that he was doing this offseason. That's just the signs of an explosive guy when a wide receiver squatting 600 pounds. So we've seen some potential out of him. So that's a guy I would look out for. But possibly making all SEC type thing on offense, I think they kind of got it covered, man. I don't think they miss a whole lot.
Yeah, I think offensive line, certainly running back or quarterback, is probably the only place that Florida is going to see that. But again, you know, you never know. There's usually a surprise or two, you know, at Florida and elsewhere of somebody that you've not heard of that just bursts on the scene. Nick, since I have you, and we're still waiting on Phil Steele to join us here shortly, what's Florida going to do at kick and punt return? Obviously, you know, I think a lot of people had Femley Graham or maybe even DeMarcus Bowman. Both of them are now gone from the program. Do we have an idea of what Florida's going to do there?
I think punt return, you're going to get like a Jason Marshall. And it's kind of like when you go back to the Vernon Hargraves, it's like there was no reason Vernon needed to be back there, but he had strict instructions. Like,
who did they carved into stone.
No.
We didn't punt spring, so we didn't get no return action to see who was even back there for kickoff return or anything? No.
Listen, you know, if there was punting in the spring, I would have detailed it.
Yeah. That's your bad. My bad. No disrespect.
But I, like, he goes back there. Jason Marshall goes back there with, like, the Vernon Hargreaves instructions. Like, the ball's in the air. you find it, you wave your arm, and you bring it down, and we get back on offense. No shifty business. No funny business
back there.
Don't get antsy and try to run the ball back.
This is negative, Nick. Who you want back there? We getting some explosive back there.
I'm not feeling them vibes, bro.
Like, you're talking down on my coach, man. Like, we just want some pedestrian.
I'm not. It's just like, hey, yeah, he's the offensive coordinator. Let's get us back on offense.
Yeah, for sure. Who you got, Dan?
I got Xavier Henderson back there.
Yeah, I don't like that.
That's it. He's a kickoff guy, not a punt guy. Straight line speed. Like, let him get 15, 20 yards.
Let me think about it. We got Phil Steele joining us.
Let's welcome
Phil to the show in just one moment. But before we do that, give a shout out to our friends over at Home Field Apparel. Visit them, homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code Stadium and Gale, all one word, for 15% off of your order. They are running a mystery fleece this week through July 27th. Hoodies are $45. Crew necks are $40. Check them out, homefieldapparel.com, promo code Stadium and Gale, all one word. And with that, we welcome the biggest prognosticator in college football and in the NFL, a legend himself, Phil Steele. Phil, how are you doing this afternoon?
Hey, I am doing great. How about you gentlemen this afternoon?
Excellent, excellent, excellent.
Great vibes, Phil. Great vibes over here.
Phil, we have been trying to get you onto the show for a long time, so we are glad that you are you're joining us today. Phil, obviously, want to talk to you a little bit about the Florida Gators and everything that we have going on this season, learn a little bit about Billy Napier, but always like to know a little bit of the backstory of folks like yourself and how you got into the business and ultimately became such a household name. I know your first publication was in 1995, but ultimately, how did you get into this business and into a point where you are now?
Yeah, it's interesting. I was writing a football newsletter for years. I started that business in 82, and I would go out, and at the time, there's probably 22 preseason magazines. So I'd buy all 22. I needed every piece of information I could get. Got my notebook all set and started jotting down every piece of information I gathered from all 22 magazines. And I would end up with like 18 players per team for the big teams. And the small teams, you'd get practically maybe four or five players on the team. It was just the same amount of information and not a lot of it. So I started compiling the information myself, getting the rosters from the schools, things like that. And I think it was 1994, somebody came in and looked at my pages and said, Phil, maybe you could turn that into a magazine. And I wondered, because all the other magazines are sort of very quick reads, you know, that type of thing, if it would take nationally. But we put that first magazine out in 1995. It had more information than anybody else, complete depth charts. It was laid out much like this year's magazine. Back then, it was black and white. It was on newsprint. There was only 88 teams. I didn't have time to write the MAC or the Sun Belt or anything like that. But after people got their hands on it, they were like, I need this type of information. So each year it grew with the amount of people that were reading it. And each year, once somebody got their hands on it, they needed to have it. About 7-8 years later, we went full color. We expanded to all the FBS teams. I think it was after 4 or 5 years. And currently I do all 131 teams. We give you the same amount of coverage on Akron or Troy that we give you on Alabama and Oklahoma, two full pages. And the beautiful thing in this era where magazines are going by the wayside, it's actually quicker than the internet, because you can flip to any team page. And if you want to know a score from 3 years ago, you can close your eyes to know exactly where it's at. Mm-hmm. Who's your starting left tackle? You know exactly where it's at. Meanwhile, if you went to the school's website, you might be 3, 4, 5 clicks away from finding said information. So all the information on the same spot, every team. Guys like you probably use it during your shows. Yeah. It's a quick, easy reference. And like I said, it's faster than the internet. So it's just grown in popularity. It's the number one seller right now at Barnes & Noble and has been for years. And it's worked out pretty well. So it just shows you that if you put the effort into it, you can achieve stuff.
I admit I moved to the digital copy a couple of years ago because I enjoy the control F more so than thumbing through. But for years, that was the go-to source for me. You know, every week, you know, I know Tennessee and I know Georgia, but when I'm getting ready for one of the out-of-conference games Florida has, it's like, hey, I don't know anything about Eastern Washington. Open up my magazine and, all right, there it is.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, if you follow your team, you generally find that you'll be like, hey, that information's accurate. You know, the information's accurate on all 131 teams. And, you know, like with Florida, I talked to Coach Napier for a little over an hour. I've been talking to Coach Napier every year. He's at Louisiana. They really get my two deeps and three deeps and four deeps in order for me.
Mm. What's your overall impression on Billy before he got to UF? What do you think about the work he did at Louisiana?
Well, what I do with the coaches is I send them over my team pages, and it's got every single player on the team and my notes on them. If you looked at the team pages the first year he was at Louisiana and compared them to the last year he was at Louisiana, you would have seen that roster grow amazingly well. And so he's a great recruiter, a great developer of talent, and I think he's a heck of a game day head coach as well. Probably could have won more than just the one Sun Belt title that he did. And I think he's ready for the step up. I mean, he's been in Power Five conferences before. He's learned under some great coaches before, and I think he's going to do a great job at Florida. So I was very impressed with Coach Napier coming in, and I think he steps into a pretty good spot here.
Phil, I want to ask you, I was just looking through earlier today in your top 40 rankings that you put out the other day. You have Florida number 32 on your list. Where do you have hesitancy on Florida to put them in the 30s? And, you know, where do you ultimately think that they – you know, how can they get into the top 10, top 15 and finish that way? Or could you see the wheels falling off as well?
Did you guys review my magazine last year?
I did, but I'll be honest with you. The information's probably gone in and out.
Okay. Cause last year I wasn't very popular with Florida folks. I did not have Florida in my top 25. There was numerous articles written in Florida about that. And I got blasted on Twitter all season long. However, this year, I don't think expectations are as high for Florida, but I think it's mostly the schedule for me. When you look at the schedule they play, they're opening up with Utah, where I've got them as an underdog. Utah is one of my top teams in the country, at Tennessee, at Texas A&M, Georgia in Jacksonville. So the schedule's tough. It's going to be tough to really move up in the top 40. We're talking probably 8 or 9 wins. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that's feasible in the first year for Florida, which is 13 returning starters. So the question would be, the situation is taking over 13 returning starters coming off a 6-7 team. Can they get up there into the 9-10 win level, which would need, you'd need to get into the top 25. Now, I have Florida my number two most improved team in the country this year, so I think it's feasible. They do need to win some of those games, like go on the road and beat Tennessee. I think that's a key game if you're looking for the team that finishes behind Georgia this year. Florida's going to have to go and beat Tennessee, because I've got Tennessee tied with Florida as that number two team. But schedule would probably be my main concern. Overall experience, and you know, I'll tell you, I talked to 120 of the 131 head coaches this year. And I've been talking to coaches for years, and every second year head coach you talk to, he says what a better situation he's in, because he now knows the players' strengths and weaknesses. Players know his system. He said his first real full recruiting class. So second year head coaches tell you about that. So it tells you a little bit about first year head coaches and the situation that they step into.
It's interesting to me. I think the general consensus, I don't know if any group in the country is more passionate about football, college football, than people here in the South. But the general consensus is, oh, Pac-12, they don't play this physical style of football. They're kind of more finesse. They'll throw the ball around, not great defenses. I watched Utah a couple times, and you just mentioned how much they bring back. I'm like, they're not that. They are not what – you know, whether it's warranted or not, that's not the type of football that Utah will bring to Gainesville on September 3rd.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% there. And there are a couple of Pac-12 teams that are built at the line of scrimmage. You look at what Mario Cristobal did at Oregon. He took over a finesse team and turned them into a power team on both sides of the ball. And all you have to do is talk to Coach Kyle Whittingham, and you know this is a tough team. So their offensive line is built and powerful. I rate them the number 6 offensive line in the country. Defensive line, Utah puts so many players in the NFL off that defensive front, it's ridiculous. They just recruit defensive linemen every year under Whittingham. They've got my number 17 rated defensive line. Florida fans will be very familiar with their middle linebacker this year, Muhammad Diabate, who was the number one tackler for Florida. Now he's going in at Utah as the top linebacker. I read in the number 11 linebacking core, number 12 DB core. They've got run deep set of running backs. They were a much better team once Cam Rising took over. Last year, they dropped a couple of early games. Cam Rising took over at QB. They only dropped one more in the regular season. And then they should have beaten Ohio State in the Rose Bowl, but their secondary was really wiped out. They had a running back playing secondary. They had a walk-on playing secondary, and they gave up a lot of pass yards and the late win. I've got Utah as coming into the season as my number six-ranked team. I think they could be favored in every single game and run the table this year. So that's a legitimate test for Florida in the opener in the Swamp. Now, the advantage for Florida got to be the heat and humidity. I mean, because Utah's coming from the mountains and they're playing down in the south. So that's going to be a big advantage, I think, for Florida. But this is a very talented Utah team.
I'll tell you, it's not the weather's not great right now, Phil, sitting here in Gainesville. it's not outside weather right now.
Yeah, it's wicked. I don't know. The sun is a little different this year than it has been in the past. And we definitely going to need it in the Swamp. But I expect them boys to come in shape as well.
Phil, I want to ask you kind of your outside perspective. I know a lot of Gator fans are very excited about Anthony Richardson taking over the helm at quarterback, and I know that he's been compared to Cam Newton and Tim Tebow in terms of his size and stature and everything else. Had a few ups and a few downs last year, but what are you hearing through your conversations about Anthony Richardson?
I'm very high on him. He could be a potential Heisman candidate. I mean, all you have to do is watch this guy play. 6'4", 237. He's got the arm strength. He's got the speed. He's just everything you want. He's a freakish athlete. He can do backflips. He's explosive. He runs what I think Coach Napier told me they timed him at 21 miles per hour and during the spring, which speaks of his speed. He's just gifted in everything you want. Now, the only thing he needs is experience. And I think if he's going to have a games early on, you know, like I mentioned, the Utah game is going to be tough. That's the type of game that could really build you the rest of the year. Because once you've played that Utah defense, then pretty much every defense you look at the rest of the year, it's going to be, hey, I've seen this already. So I think that first opening game of the season is going to help him a lot for the rest of the schedule. They might not face a defense as good as Utah until Georgia, even getting past LSU. So I'm very high on Anthony Richardson this year.
If I can jump to that Georgia game, I almost felt bad for Anthony last year. It was like fans had been clamoring, the media had been clamoring.
It was a setup.
Start Anthony Richardson. And then Dan Mullen was like, all right, you guys want it? Here you go. He's starting against Georgia. And we were all like, not that defense, Dan. not against that team. You should have done it against like Vanderbilt or done it against a different team, not against that Georgia team.
Yeah, plenty of opportunity to get reps. That was so
kind of thrown into the deep end of shark infested waters. What does Georgia? They lost. I mean, they had a record year in the NFL draft. What do they return? What does that defense look like? Obviously, they've recruited well, but you'd have to imagine they take at least a little step back from the defense that they had a year ago.
Yeah, and the most amazing stat to me is that they gave up 41 points to Alabama last year, and yet on the season gave up 10 points per game. How is that even possible? That means all the rest of the games you're giving up 7 points per game. It's really phenomenal. Now, Georgia loses 8 draft picks, a lot of them in the first and second round. I don't think this year's Georgia defense is as good as last year's, but last year's was incredible. And in the front of the magazine, we list projected stats. And I every year when I'm doing my write-ups for the offense and defense, I go, okay, what did my projected stats have for this team? And I do that for all 131 teams. You'd be amazed how close these stats come. Well, my projected stats this year say Georgia's going to drop all the way down to giving 16 points per game. So they're still going to
You're really down on them, huh, Phil?
Yeah. Jalen Carter up front is one of the best defensive players in college football. Nolan Smith at outside linebacker. Keely Ringo, one of the top corners. And going over the defense with Coach Schumann, and these guys are deep. You know, last year, if you watch Georgia play, they don't play just the starters. They play the starters. They play the backups to play the third team. So a lot of these guys gained experience last year. They're loaded with talent. So, yeah, I'm calling for them to drop all the way to allowing 16 points per game this year. I've got Georgia a double-digit favorite in every single game.
Wow. Who's a team in the SEC that you think is a little overhyped right now, and who's a team that may be a little bit underhyped?
Let's start with the underhyped team. I'm going to go with Auburn. And Auburn's a team that's just got picked last in the SEC West. And all the talk is, well, Brian Harsin must be running something toxic there because all these players are leaving, right? Guys, I've been doing this for 28 years. And I can tell you, I've seen a lot of first-year head coaches come in. And that attrition, I call it addition by subtraction. You're getting rid of the guys that aren't bought in. You're saying, you know what? If you don't like it, there's the door. Head out. And what's left is a galvanized group. And talking to Coach Harsin, going over the team, I got that feeling. And with the defense, I mean, if you watch the SEC Media Days, listen to Tank Bigsby speak, these guys are bought in. And we'd have a completely different outlook on Auburn this year had they held on to that lead against Bama. They should have won the Alabama game. Mm-hmm. Had the lead, Bama needs a miracle score late in the game and needs four overtimes to get past them. Had Harsin beaten Alabama in his first year, we'd be looking at Auburn as one of the contenders in the West. Instead, you're looking at a team that was coming off a 6-7 season as picked last. Auburn's going to surprise a lot of folks. I have my number six most improved team this year. As far as overhyped, I don't know if anybody's really getting that much hype other than Alabama and Georgia this year. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at, I've watched the SEC Media Days and everybody's picking everybody from 3rd to 11th. So I don't know if there's an overhyped team because everybody is sort of down. But I think Auburn clearly would be the underhyped team.
Silk, Nick, anything else?
Yeah. What do you think about, just on some other stuff, Phil, what do you think about, because you've been in the game a long time, just what media is now, the growth of it, like the new technology. What's your opinion from when you started to what it is now?
Well, I tell you, college football was not the second most popular sport out there when I started the magazine. I think, and I'd like to say my magazine might have helped a little bit by providing the amount of information it has on every team, makes everybody an expert. But I think the media now, college football is the second most popular sport out there. So I love college football, and I think the media has really helped. It's impressive. And the more people you get talking about college football, the better it is for college football.
No doubt.
I guess last question, Phil, your thoughts on Billy Napier and fit at Florida. I know you spoke highly of his time at Louisiana. I know that you've, you know, said that, you know, this is a team that certainly is going to be, you know, more improved, you know, obviously a tough schedule, but, you know, Florida's had a bit of a rough go of it when it's come to coaches. You know, after Urban Meyer left, I think the average duration of a head coach at Florida is probably right around 3 years. Where do you have Billy Napier, you know, fitting in the Florida fan base long term? And, you know, how quickly do you think that he'll achieve the results that I think the Gator fans are expecting out of a head football coach at Florida?
I think Billy Napier is going to be around Florida a long time. He strikes me as a very loyal guy, a guy that's going to stick with the place and somebody that's going to put all his effort into it. I also think there's going to be a lot more effort in the recruiting trail for Coach Napier, and I think you're going to see the results. He's going to have a team that's disciplined and playing hard. So, like I said, first-year head coaches, generally there's a struggle that first year. I think he'll have them improve. They are my number two most improved team in the country. Mm-hmm. And I think he's going to be around a long time. I think he's going to end your string of short-term coaches.
Excellent. Well, Phil, well, obviously – oh, go
I
ahead,
I hope
Nick.
So, Phil. I hope so, Phil. It's my 10th year, my fourth coach while covering the team.
Nick acting like he don't like the clicks.
Hey, eight clicks are still clicks, but my mental health is taking a toll with angry fans. Phil, you mentioned, you know, the schedule for Florida, and I don't know. We've gone through the schedule a little bit on our show in the past. I don't know that there is a path to 10 wins. Like, if Florida gets to 10 wins, I think, you know, Anthony Richardson has a seat wherever they're doing the Heisman this year.
For sure.
What do you think is a realistic win-loss total for Gator fans this year?
I would say – if you're looking for like a basement win total, I would say 7. I think that's absolute worst case scenario. But I think best case scenario, you would be looking at 10. The two key games would be Utah and Tennessee. And I'll say this, after I do the magazine every year, I go through every matchup for the season, line it up in my computer, look at the history of the series, look at the situation of the game. And I have Florida favored over Kentucky, South Florida, Eastern Washington, Missouri, LSU, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, and Florida State. So I've got them favored in 8 games. I got them a slight underdog at Tennessee. As we know, Florida's dominated the Tennessee series. I think Tennessee talent-wise might be more than a 3-point favorite, but I only made them a 3-point favorite in that game because of Florida's dominance in the series. The Utah game, I've got them an underdog as well. Right now in Vegas, I think they're a 3-point dog. Those would be the 2 games. If you're going to get to 10 wins, you got to knock off Utah and beat Tennessee on the road. I do have a double-digit underdog against Georgia, and then a 7-point dog or a 10-point dog at Texas A&M. I think College Station's a tough place to play. They're loaded. I mean, absolutely loaded with talent. Jimbo Fisher's done a great job recruiting. Going through the team with Coach Fisher, you get to the third team, and it's what I call a VHT. If you guys are familiar with the magazine, a VHT is one of the highest-rated recruits out there. That's A&M's third string. So Fisher has had 5 straight years of recruiting, just not one. I think those 2 games are sort of almost in the unwinnable category as far as Georgia and Texas A&M go. So I'd put the ceiling at 10 and the basement at 7 for Florida this year.
I like that, man.
First year head coach.
You went all Rain Man on us, man. You just got a plethora of information just in the tuck, Phil. That's why you my guy, bro.
That's all I do, though, guys, is college football. You put me in a grocery store and I'm clueless.
I love that. Phil, obviously you don't need any further introduction, but let everybody know where they can pick up your magazine, where they can follow you on social media and everything else.
Yeah, I appreciate that, guys. Now, we actually had to go through a bit of a difference this year due to a paper shortage and print the magazine in 2 runs. The first run went exclusively to Barnes & Noble. So if you're out and about, gas is so valuable right now. Just go to Barnes & Noble and look for the magazine. The second run will be hitting the other stores in August. But Barnes & Noble is the exclusive dealer now. You can go to the website, which is philsteele.com, and pick up the hard copy of the magazine. Pick up the digital copy of the magazine, which, by the way, we update the digital version all the way through the start of the season. So if a player's injured, out for the year, we'll have that in the digital version. Bill Clark, no longer the head coach at UAB, updated in the digital. So make sure you check that out. And then you could follow me on Twitter, at PhilSteele042. That's at PhilSteele042.
I love that, Phil. Thank you so much. We appreciate your time, and best of luck and great work again. And we'll hopefully get you on in the future and talk a little bit more about the Florida Gators.
Hey, sounds good. A lot of fun talking football with you guys today.
Yeah, absolutely. Always, thanks, always. Phil.
Thanks a lot, Phil.
Thanks, guys.
You got it. Bye-bye. Phil Steele, a legend. Enjoyed that conversation. Let's give a shout out to our friends over at Alumni Hall real quick. Go visit alumnihall.com or go visit them in Gainesville on Archer Road. A lot of new things in the store. I know last week we talked a little bit about their new football jerseys, the new Jordan polos. I actually just got one. I almost put it on before the show today. But check out the new Jordan polos, or if you need anything for your tailgate setup, check it out. They have some other things. They're going to be knocking down some walls. They're going to be expanding a little bit over there on Archer Road. They're also going to be doing some tax-free week stuff here in the next couple weeks. So make sure that you check them out. They let me know today, shot them an email, that they got 38 boxes of shipment today. So some of that stuff is the Nike stuff that you guys are looking for. So we will have that. They will have that up on the website, and we will have that for you here shortly. So again, alumnihall.com for all of your Florida Gators needs. All right, Silk, Nick, big week in recruiting. I know a lot of Gator fans are excited about what the prospects of this week look like recruiting. A couple of crystal balls just went in from Steve Wilfong over there on 247. But if you look, it looks like the Gators are trending well. Nick, Silk, any thoughts on recruiting before we go over a few specific names that may be popping this week?
I would go out of left field. I mean, we got a few names. Who'd you say? Aiden Mizell.
He probably. Yeah, so we've got probably the big names this week are Jordan Castell, Aiden Mizell. So Jordan Castell is a safety prospect class of 2023, 4-star out of West Orange High School in Winter Garden. I think that that one's about as strong of a lean as you're going to get without a commitment. Right. Aiden Mizell, 6'2", wide receiver, four-star out of Boone High School in Orlando, Florida. Both parents went to the University of Florida, but wasn't necessarily being recruited hard by the University of Florida under former coach Dan Mullen. So great job by Billy Napier to bring him back into the fold. I believe he's a top 50 guy on three. Cornerback Jakeem Jackson from Osceola High School, 6'1", also a four-star.
Loading up. We loading
up. Expected to go this week.
Who got it, Billy.
Yeah. Malik Bryant is a guy that was expected to announce on Saturday. There is some smoke about him going to Florida. Then there's some smoke about him going to Miami. And then we found out that all of that smoke was not connected to any fire and that he just delayed his commitment date to a later time.
Nah, it was some smoke. Bugatti Billy, it was some smoke, man. I wish the kid would have went through, man. It was just some smoke out there.
Yeah. Glad Malik. It was a lot of Florida smoke, right? I mean, the delay was not good for Miami. Not saying that he's going to choose Florida, not saying that he's not going to go to Miami, but certainly I think the expectation up until maybe Friday was right. That on Saturday Malik Bryant was heading to Coral Gables, and that may not be the case anymore. But it does seem like this could be a big week for recruiting for the Florida Gators, and then obviously you have your Friday Night Lights and cookout at the end of the week.
Huge need if they could pull off Malik Bryant. Like you said, he delayed. They still ate the barbecue. Like the shindig still went down, so the vibe is still electric. But no
shout out to him for still having a barbecue, right?
Yeah, I mean, the food's already been ordered, man. You know, everything's getting catered.
I think there was another person committing at the event too. But it's like, hey, if the bride runs away at the wedding, it's like the drink's already paid for. The DJ's here. DJ's here till 1. The bottles of alcohol are still here. Y'all enjoy the party. We invited you.
It's a vibe, you know? Anywho, I think that'll be a good get. Bateman has been struggling with linebacker recruitment. We've been talking about that room and offensive line room, how bad it's been. So that would be a great get. And also, like, this is past Rashada. I like the way the staff is stand on it. You know, no matter what's going on in the streets, as it gets closer to these commit dates, like, they came out of nowhere, right? Malik Bryant was assumedly head to Miami for a little while now. And then all of a sudden, we got towards that date, things started to get a little murky. So I like that they're working, you know?
Yeah, no, I think
Real G's moving silent like lasagna.
That's right. Man. Shout out Weezy F. I think that this is an interesting quote. Billy Napier was on CBS, and he was talking about areas of opportunity for himself and to be able to improve. And he sat down with Dennis Dodd. And he said, the key take is that we take this experience and next go around, we get better, a little better, minimize our error, improve our efficiency. And ultimately that's what it comes down to. He's talking about recruiting as a whole. And I think that, you know, there was
life.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, that's a great life point too, right? It's a great opportunity, right? I'm sure he's going to look back on football games that are coached this season and in his career where you can say, hey, we could have done this better or that better. But I think overall being able to look back now, you know, I think that you look back on this show 3-4 months ago, there was definitely some question marks that we had about recruiting and where Florida was at. And we said, hey, there's still quite a bit of time between now and early signing day, but we're still waiting to see the progress of the Army and of the staff and of the recruiting team and everything else. And I think that if you look at where Florida's at, you know, right now compared to 3 months ago and compared to where they could be, you know, 3 months from now, I think that, you know, the tide is certainly shifting and, you know, it seemed to be a lot of momentum in Miami's favor, but, you know, it certainly seems that Florida's starting to get some of the blue chips that they need to continue to be able to compete on field with your Georgias, your Alabamas, and your Texas A&Ms.
You got some, Nick, because I got to take. You got Nick? You got anything, Nick?
Listen, bro, it's recruiting. You know my takes on recruiting. Go ahead.
Oh, we just a hat on the table. That's your take.
I'm wearing the hat.
Nah, that thing's a gas station hat.
This was purchased at the baseball grounds of Jacksonville, where the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, formerly the Jacksonville Sun, play. If you want the entire county of Duval to hate you like they hate Dan, you can go ahead and keep talking trash about my throwback hat.
Yes, it's a lot of relationship building going on, and that's where the Army comes into play. I think that's going to be important with keeping our commits. These guys are still getting attention. And we'll see if other programs are still giving these kids attention and still recruiting, because I know the Army's still going to be doing that. And I know they're still after a lot of guys that already committed. And that's the play. A lot of these guys didn't have relationships, especially in the offensive line. Those guys coming back from NFL ranks, we lost to guys that had a long relationship, whether it was Florida State with Atkins and other guys, but they just had long relationships. And when you're talking to a coach since you're 14, 15, in eighth, ninth grade, that's a lot of bonding, man. So we're just going to keep working, play this season, and keep building on those relationships and let the Army do what they do. Yeah. But they're still at it.
I mean, when you think of, you know, Mario Cristobal, you know, head coach at Oregon, probably recruiting, you know, a lot of the guys that he was already talking to when he was at Oregon. You know, Jimbo Fisher's obviously been around for quite some time. Nick Saban, you know, when you look at Billy Napier coming from Louisiana, he probably wasn't talking to a lot of these, you know, highly ranked 4- and 5-star guys because they simply weren't going to consider Louisiana, right? Even if they're from Louisiana, they probably weren't going to consider Louisiana, right? So, right. You know, certainly a lot of relationships that are going to be built. And, you know, I say that Florida's going to probably have never going to have a tougher time to recruit and build that name recognition than they are, you know, 6 months ago. And every day and every relationship and every conversation, you know, that grows is only going to make it a little bit stronger and a little bit easier for Billy Napier and his team to get in, you know. But when you're starting from a nearly ground zero, you know, start and carte blanche there, you know, certainly it's going to be a, you know, an uphill battle. And I think that they've done well. And, you know, the way that this week is trending, there could even be a surprise or two in there this week. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge that, you know, that is just getting started on what this could look like.
Bugatti Billy. Also another take, man. I like how many kids. So 10 of our commits are all Florida kids, the other two are Georgia kids, right? Mm-hmm. So that, you know, you gotta master your
footprint.
Right. You gotta master that, man, and you gotta invest in that. And I think everybody else, these high school coaches, everybody, the kids, they're gonna all recognize that you know, we're trying to lock down a certain area and do certain things, man. So not a bad start, bro. We'll see how we all finish up, where we rank before the games get kicked off. But linebacker room, offensive line room is just the biggest glaring problems. And Malik Bryan could change a lot of that, and the offensive line got a lot of work to do. But we about to get some fireworks here soon.
Well, perfect. Well, let's let you guys wrap up the show. I don't think there's anything else we need to talk about. Nick, I guess there's a couple baseball players that signed. You want to go over those real quick?
Yeah, the one signee, he was the first Gator player or signee drafted, Xavier Isaac. He signed with I think it was your Tampa Bay Rays, Dan.
My team is the Marlins, but yes,
your Rays. Tampa Bay
Rays. Here in Tampa Bay, yeah.
And then also Hunter Barco, he signed with the Pirates. Judd Fabian signed with the Orioles, and Nick Pogue was not drafted but signed with the Washington Nationals. I think those are the three guys that I've got right now. Really fortunate for Florida. Really good draft for them when it comes to the signing class and getting guys to campus. There is some more big news that will be coming for baseball. I'm not going to spoil it, but the story's already written up, and I'm going to have to – Silk, I'm going to be lying all fall. We got big hype. Big hype on the
dot. Here we go.
Yeah, Barry Bonds coming to be the hitting coach, or what are you guys going on?
I'm gonna tell you.
Big hype on the baseball diamond all fall. We will be coming to a crescendo by February. I got takes.
The fans don't like when you're negative about football or positive about baseball. Those are bad signs, man.
I gotta flip them.
You gotta flip them, bro.
I gotta flip them.
That's our jinx right now. You.
My bad.
Silk, we got I guess just a couple announcements again. Check out the Stadium and Gale store. Like I said, have a bunch of new items there for you. Again, if you want them on any other article of clothing than what we have listed, just reach out to us and we will help you with that. Number two, make sure that you like and subscribe us on YouTube. We normally record around 5:30, 6 o'clock on Monday afternoons. But today we did it at around noon. But follow us there. Do the live stream. You can ask questions. Especially if you're a super donator or super sponsor, whatever they call the super follow functionality there, we will be answering those questions live on our show. Also, make sure that you rate and subscribe us on all of your podcast platforms. That absolutely helps us, and we certainly appreciate you listening. Silk, I think it's your song of the week, and we got the Manscaped ad read, and we'll take us home.
While he looks, I need that our new Gainesville logo. I need that on a patch. On a hat.
Patch on a hat. Let's see what we can
patch
do.
Patch on a hat.
I'll look into that for you.
Thank you.
I see what I want to give the streets. I've been giving the streets too much R&B.
Listen, bro. I mean, you just gotta catch up. I'm running away with this.
I mean, the song was fire. I like the song you had last time.
I'm the unofficial DJ of Stadium and Gale. If you have a shanty tuned up, ready to go,
a shanty
people would like a shanty. Oh, that could be another good one.
I like a shanty too.
But I can't shanty. That's my bag. But I can't play no R&B. But Murder Inc. is a vibe. Mm-hmm. But the streets was filling your song. My DJ hit me up. Was like, bro, I don't know. Nick has some heat, man. If we could get him lyrics to like Durkio, you know, or the right rapper, that shit, it goes in a little bit. Pause.
Yo.
Pause. But a great song. Lyrics is fire.
Before you do the Manscaped ad read, shout out to Chris Sorley, Wicked Fresh, Pierce Coon, Sam Kuzma.
Who?
Sabor Heath. Just looking at people that participated today in our chat on YouTube.
I got Joey, Daniels, who is apparently fancy.
Wicked Fresh. Got a couple people that are commenting on Nick's beard on three. I don't totally know what he was going for there, but shout out to let's see, what's his name? Doppler over
old,
on
three. Old gray beard over here.
Old gray beard. All right, so. Let's take us home.
All right, let me get some good. Oh, yeah. Gotta give the ad read, man. Be sure to visit manscaped.com. You know, the best of the best when it comes to man grooming. Even if you're grooming them balls or grooming your ears, grooming your legs, stay fresh, stay clean. Lawnmower 4.0 gonna keep you right. You can use it in the shower, you can use it in the dark. Whatever you're trying to do to get that thing shaved, or your leg shaved. I don't know, man. It's just you don't want to be Harry Larry. You also don't want to have your balls sticking to your leg in this heat in summer. So ball deodorant is huge all the way from now on to about Christmas. Just keep that on a just reoccurring, you know, little purchase if you can. But the ball deodorant is the best tool that I like to use. They have many more products, the weed whacker for your ears.
They got fingernail trimmers now. They've got foot deodorant. They've got actual deodorant. They've got
just stay fresh, man.
Conditioner. Yeah. Anything that you need to stay fresh.
Yeah. Manscaped. All your man grooming needs, they got it. Visit manscaped.com. Use coupon code SG20 at checkout for 20% off. Let me take it out with some Stolly. Some different vibes. Also New by Stolly.
Perfect. Well, we will see you guys next week. Same corner, same time.
Same corner, same time, man.
Perfect.
We talk money till the spirit come. And talk violence like we deaf and dumb. Death we overcome every wake up in the morn. Just a spiritual reality over the drum. Hallelujah to the tutors trapped in the slums. Trying to feed wisdom to the young. Bring love to the heartless, hope that feeling come. Take the weight off the shoulders, make it still in the sun. We star reaching, often forgotten, no star treatment. No hard grieving, just work till we all even. No all season, knuckles bleeding from all the fighting. Worth every blow, when you see those we enlighten. A vibrant glow, won't let fortune divide us so. Crabs in the bucket, got it boiling hot. So we turn up the temperature till the hating stop. Blind leading the blind, we hip to Satan's plot. Found God in us, liberated from all the nonsense. Strong-minded, won't never see that the brain flinch. I hang with Moors and Israelites that keep me sharp as Ginsu knife. It's all relative, funny how words can make us relatives. They say the language pure until you sell the shit. Well, mine can't be price tag. Everything I say I mean and I won't take back. Sat desperate for days, trying to fill the page. My thoughts locked in a cage, I started building rage. Marijuana and sage at my personal rave. Holistic psychedelics brought a mental change. Clear as the water, my thoughts became pure. Anxiety and stress I had to endure. Was barely outside, I kept it indoors. My sanity, I had to fend.
Oh my God.
Damn, boy.
Jesus.
I like it.
Thank you. but I'm back 10 toes, black rose out the soil. Speaking for every black boy without a voice, who hustled without a choice, who father was always void, who mama was unemployed, but still stay overjoyed. The strong stay moving forward, we keep it on that accord, so wins don't tally off, accumulate no loss. Life is a high cost, but also can end cheap. Pass knowledge along, but also let friends speak. Some men wealthy and some make ends meet, but all got in common trying to feed their family. Never looking for handouts, nothing you can hand me. I'm still on A, won't ever see plan B. And this all new shit, don't let them tell your story. Create your own damn news clip.
The etymology of the word gives you the origin. Etymology means real, true history. Origin. So I'm giving you skills so that you can get to the essence of the word. You always start from the essence. That's your foundation.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.